Hebrews chapter 2, and we are looking particularly at verses 10 through 18. Hebrews chapter 2, and I will begin reading at verse 10. Hear ye the word of the Lord. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not to angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever and ever. Father, we do thank you for thy holy word. Grant us understanding by your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to hear and to walk in accordance with your word and will, and that Christ would truly be exalted in our hearts through this thy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have, brothers and sisters in Christ, pondered the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ for 2,000 years. They have pondered it. They've debated it. We know that in this life we are all going to have trials and tribulations or sufferings because of the fall of Adam. And we know that such kinds of sufferings will be a part of our lives until the Lord Jesus Christ comes on that day. And then he will change us in the twinkling of an eye. And yes, there will be no suffering nor death. But we don't always understand. We understand ourselves because we are sinners, but we don't understand sometimes why Christ, why the beloved Son of God had to suffer and die. Sometimes the people will wonder, saying, could there have been another way? Did Jesus really have to suffer and die? And the answer, of course, if there was another way, any other way, then Jesus would not have had to die. Therefore, what we understand is the very fact it was absolutely necessary, because Jesus did have to suffer and die. It was necessary for him to do so. The very fact he did means it is necessary. Thus, the only way of salvation was for the triune God to send the only begotten Son to be made the perfect captain of our souls, the captain of our salvation. So yes, it would be a way of suffering and a way of death, but it will be a way sailed through by he who is the great captain, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see this great captain made perfect, and we will see how he is unashamed of his brethren, and we will see his great and powerful delivery that he has wrought, and finally how he is our perfect, merciful high priest, because he is. And we will realize the great sufferings of our Savior, and surely we will stand in awe of him because of it, and a greater love for him. We'll walk with a greater faithfulness to him because of who he is and what he has done, calling sinners to repentance, calling the brethren to holiness because he is holy. And he calls us to follow him. And we must do likewise. So with that, we must consider our first point from verses 10 and 11. Christ our captain, made perfect through suffering. Now you might wonder why I use the term captain here in reference to Christ, because in the particular word is translated to King James as captain. And I kind of like the idea that's expressed by that. Because when we hear of a captain of a ship, we quickly picture the one who is in charge of the ship, the one who's in control of the ship. He determines what direction that is going to go, how fast they're going to get there, how far they will go, and how everything determining with it. as a captain of the ship. And so there's this idea of leadership and rule and control. So I kind of like the idea that's expressed by that. Now here in the word in the ESV translation, we have the word founder. It's also translated originator. Okay, all these are expressed in this particular word. The idea is champion. The pioneer. Okay, these are the ideas expressed this way. It refers to Christ and what He has done by and through His incarnation, His becoming flesh, one of us, if you will. And why is that? In verse 9 we read there, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone, which includes us. All right, tasting death for us. Look at verse 10. For it was fitting that He, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, was Christ the Son of God already perfect? Yes, He was. He was absolutely perfect. In all of His being, He is perfect. So in what manner then could Christ possibly be perfected? We need to consider that. First, notice it is a triune God who deemed it fitting, who deemed it appropriate or suitable. And so God is the one for whom and by whom all things exist. It is this Creator God who would bring many sons to glory. All right? And it is this triune God who determined that the Christ, the founder of our salvation, the champion, the believer's champion, the captain of salvation, He is the one that determined that this, that He would be made perfect through suffering. And so this is the divine sovereign plan of God that the Messiah must be perfected, and He must do so by way of or through this venue of suffering. Secondly, how is the Messiah then, the founder and champion, to be made perfect through suffering? All right, how is He then? Or how can He be our champion except He suffer and die? How can Christ be our perfect Savior? In order to do so, He must become man. He must become like one of us so that He could suffer in our place, go to the cross, die as our substitute there, and thereby, according to what we've read, bring many sons to glory. Okay, He's going to have to go through His suffering and death as He stands as our representative, made like as one of us and yet without sin. So yes, the Son of God was already perfect in His person and His being. But to be our perfect Messiah, to be our deliverer, to be our champion, He has to become man and He must be enabled to suffer and die. And so as a perfect sacrifice, a perfect high priest, touched by our infirmities, a perfect captain for our salvation. This is the one who leads us, who steers us like a ship, if you will, as the captain would steer us, and He does so all the way to glory. Third, why would our captain then, knowing what would be set before him, why would our captain allow himself to endure such a kind of suffering? In verse 11, for He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified all have one source. And yes, being sanctified, this is in the passive tense. All right, so as a being sanctified. For Christ is our great high priest. He is the one who sanctifies. He is the one who makes holy. He consecrates His people as our high priest. He consecrates us. Okay, this is the idea and the words that are being used here, this idea of consecrating us, all right? Because the idea is presented of the high priest of which He is and is going to be and what He's doing. Now, one scholar, William Lane, said this. He said, God qualified Jesus to come before Him in priestly action. Okay, Christ has not been the high priest, but He comes, becomes man, and He's going to be made our high priest. All right? So God qualified Jesus to come before Him in priestly action. He perfected Him as a priest of His people through His sufferings, which He permitted Him to accomplish His redemptive mission. So He sanctifies them through His atonement. He consecrates us, sets us apart through and because of His atonement. And they are indeed being sanctified. We are set apart for God and glory because of His atonement. How? Through the shed blood of Christ. Okay, through the shed blood of Christ, we are cleansed from every sin. Okay, and yet all have one source, or all of one in some translations, all of one, because Christ identifies Himself with us. He identifies Himself with us as one of us, and yet without sin. He shares in our humanity. Okay, that is how our captain is made perfect through suffering. That's how it must be done, how it was done. He shares in our humanity, if you will. The Son, who is God, has become man as well, become one among us. And He did so to bring us to glory as our great high priest. He did all of these things to consecrate us, to make us holy. So when we stand before Almighty God, we will not be destroyed and cast out. And He identifies with us as the great captain of our salvation, the great guardian of our souls, if you will. And we see, secondly, Christ, our captain, is unashamed of His brethren. And that's important to know. Verses 12 through 13. When Jesus became man and He came to suffer and to die, He did so for the distinct purpose of saving us. And so He says He is unashamed. There is no embarrassment for who we are and what we've done. No shame at all, because He became one of us and yet without sin. He said, "I will become man and identify with them, my brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I identify with them. I am one with them. I'm in solidarity with them." Okay, because He is the great captain of our salvation, and He is unashamed. We're given three Old Testament quotations here in verses 12 through 13. And why is that? To show this personal affirmation by Christ. "I will tell them. I will sing," we see in the parts of these verses. "I will tell, I will sing, I will put my trust. And behold, I and the children that God has given me." The glorious, wonderful words they're quoting from Psalm 22, verse 22, and Isaiah 8:18. Now in Psalm 22, this is of course a great messianic psalm. Everybody is familiar with it. When you go back and read through that, we hear the great suffering and the great death of the Messiah and the passings from the suffering and the death. And He goes to glory saying, "I will tell of Your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing Your praise." Not ashamed, but He leads the redeemed of the earth in glorious song and praise before the great triune God, the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. He leads us in praise and song. And is glorious. Jesus identifies Himself as one of us. Verse 13 again, "I will put my trust in Him. Behold, I and the children God has given me." In dependence upon His heavenly Father, His Father, He trusts to accomplish all that great plan of salvation. And He says, in essence, "We are all here. We are here. I and the children that God has given me." He identifies with us. That's very important. We have a Savior who is touched with us, who's endured with us, who knows what it is like to suffer. He knows what we've gone through. He identifies as one of us and He says, "These are mine. I am one of them, and they are like unto me." Okay, and so we praise God for it. Quoting from Isaiah at the time. Okay, we see there in this particular verse, there was a nation in apostasy. But there in that same quotation, it speaks about the remnant shall return. Even though the world is under a cloud of judgment, it says, "Behold, there is a Redeemer. Behold, the captain of our salvation. And He is unashamed. And He calls us brothers." And that is the word, Adelphoi. That means brothers and sisters. "These are mine. These are the redeemed of the earth, the people of God, the body of Christ." He said, "They're mine and I am theirs." He is one who keeps us all the way to glory. For thirdly, Christ the captain is our powerful deliverer in 14 and 15. Certainly as fallen sinners, we would need the greatest, we would need the most powerful mediator of all that might possibly be. One who is like us, one who is perfect in every way though. We need one who can crush the head of the serpent. That is one we need, an all-powerful one who can crush the head of the devil. We need one who can cast death into the abyss. And verse 14, since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, became one of us, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. What things he partook of our human nature, a real human body and a real reasoning human soul. He became like one of us. If sinners would be saved, we would need a Savior who would be human to save us, point blank. It would be by the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ that Satan would be defeated. It would be by the suffering and death of Christ and His resurrection and glory that Satan would be crushed and destroyed. Jesus removed the grounds of our accusations. The accuser stood daily ready to accuse you, and Jesus removed the grounds of it. Removed the grounds of our accusations by the devil, paying our penalty, bearing the wrath of God, bringing us the forgiveness of sins, and declaring us righteous, just, holy, all because of what Christ has done, not by our works that anything has been done, but His glorious redemptive work. And now we can cry out, if God be for us, who can be against us? None can. God is for us. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And if He says you are just and righteous and holy because of Christ, you are. You are just and righteous because of Christ, declared to be in His own glorious proclamation described of our hymn. Jesus came to destroy the one with the power of death in verse 15 and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And people have often been, their lives have been just almost destroyed because of the fear of death. It's amazing what that can do. But all the unregenerate, they understand they are still in bondage to sin. All of them still have this fear of death. All of them cleave and cling to life as much as possible because they are not prepared. They are not ready to step through death's door because it will certainly lead to the abyss. And they know that. And so they're not ready. They don't know Christ. All of them have the fear of death. But Jesus frees us from bondage. He delivers us from bondage. He delivers us from Satan's power. He delivers us from the fear of death. And now we rejoice. When that day comes, we know I step into glory and I will behold His face. In that same moment, my eyes close in death, they will open to see my Redeemer, my Savior, our King. And we will glorify Him. But the unbelievers remain in bondage. But Christ delivers. Jesus gives new lives for old. You've heard that. He gives life, making the fear of death a gateway to joy. There's no reason for fear anymore. Now I understand, sometimes we don't like how we may get there. But regardless, we praise God because we know He will take us through. All the way to the end, the Lord will be with us. All the way into His presence. Now the devil would try to strike fear into the very heart of man, striking the heart with the fear of death. But behold, Christ has destroyed him and his accusatory work. So no longer do we need fear of death. No longer do we need to be tossed about. Because in Christ we have the victory. We have the victory even now, even our faith. Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel in 2 Timothy 1:10. Great and powerful delivery. Great and powerful deliverer is Christ, our Savior. We can rejoice when our Christian loved ones pass from this life. We know that there may be grieving at the moment, but that will pass away as we realize that they stand before the Lord in glory. They stand rejoicing, and there is no pain, no suffering, no longer the battle with sin because it is not far from them. No longer do they fight against it. But they're cleansed from every sin. They go to glory, carried by the angels of God into the presence of Christ, our great captain of salvation. Now we may mourn when they die, but we will not wail. We may mourn, but we will not wail as those who have no hope, but we rejoice with them in Christ our Savior. Remember, fourthly, that Christ the Captain is our merciful High Priest in verses 16 through 18. For surely it is not angels that He helps, but He helps the offspring of Abraham. He didn't become like the angels. He didn't become one of those. He became one of us. Why? To be our great High Priest. To be our High Priest. Therefore, He has made Him like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful High Priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. If Christ will propitiate our sins, meaning that He satisfies divine justice, He satisfies God's wrath on our behalf, He had to become man. He had to be able to suffer. He had to be able to die for us. That's the kind of Savior that we needed. Jesus took upon Himself a real human nature so He could be our sinless substitute, so He could be merciful to us, so He could wash away our sins and make us spotless in Him, spotless in Christ, as spotless little lambs, if you will, so He could declare us just, so He could welcome us into heaven saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." One scholar said this. He said, propitiation is not the turning of wrath into love. Okay, it's not the turning of wrath into love. Propitiation is the provision of the Father's love for His elect, for His sheep, for His people. It's a provision that God has made to redeem us. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins, to satisfy divine wrath, to satisfy divine justice. And God has sent His Son to do so. Jesus suffered and died to save sinners. He suffered and died to satisfy God's wrath because of our great offenses, because we are great sinners. But Jesus paid it all, as the song has said. Christ has paid it all. He has paid the debt we could not pay. He has borne the penalty I could not bear. And He washes away our sins that we could not wash away ourselves. We couldn't do it. Christ can and does. As a captain of our salvation, though, is He your captain? Is He your Savior? Is He your King? Have you trusted in Him? Are you trusting in Him now? I'm not asking that you trust in Christ 20 years ago, and I praise God if you did. I'm asking, is He your captain of your salvation now? Are you trusting in Him now? Are you living for Christ now? Not 20 years ago, or the kids 10 years ago, or 5. Are you trusting in Jesus today? Do you know Him? Is He your High Priest? Okay, making atonement for your sin by His own death on the cross. Is He your High Priest? Because He can and will take your sins away. And if you believe in Him, He will call you righteous. He will call you just before His Father in heaven. He said, "These are mine. I became one of them, and I bore their penalty. I died to save their souls. I died so that they might have entry into heaven, into glory, as the holy saints of God." Well done. Enter into the joy of thy salvation. He was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin, because we needed a sinless Savior, one without sin who would bear ours as our substitute. And truly, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Okay, the battles can rage hard against you, young or old. The temptations are often the same, just different degrees. And Christ can help you through that. The temptations, the trials, through the sufferings that you may endure, you can have the victory because Christ can set you free. Christ is a merciful High Priest, merciful and faithful, a great Savior, the great Captain of our salvation. But He bids you to come. He bids you to believe. He bids you turn from your sin and follow Him. Take up your cross and follow Him. Hop upon the great ship of your soul where Christ is a captain, and He will steer you all the way to glory. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Thy holy word. We thank You for Christ, our Savior and King, a captain of our souls, Lord, the captain of our salvation. But Lord, one who is touched, Lord, by our infirmities, He knows what we've gone through, and yet He's sinless. Lord, a great Redeemer, He's a high priest who's merciful, who's faithful. He receives us as we come to Him in humility. He receives us as we turn from sin and embrace Him in faith. Oh Lord, receive us even now. Turn our hearts, O Lord, and they shall be turned indeed. Quicken each heart, Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, impress and print Thy holy word and even the gospel of Jesus Christ. Inscribe it upon our souls, Lord, that we would walk faithfully before You. Oh Lord, we might truly rejoice with great joy on that day. Father, we ask and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead now and turn together in your hymnals to